Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
B-Pod Studios.
Gasper and Murray have scorching hot takes. Twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bays. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town fame. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray,
Gasper and Murray, 98.5 The Sports Book,
broadcasting to you from the Town Fair Tire Studio here in Dorchester. No Chris Gasper, he is in London covering the London series between the Red Sox and Yankees for the Boston Globe. So without Chris Gasper, we have Ty Anderson filling in along with Tim McCone and you at 617-779-0985. What do you think of the fact that they're playing this two-game series in London? Ty, are you interested in it as game one is about to get underway here? In fact, we haven't even put it on one of the televisions yet. We're still stuck on MLB Network. We'll figure that out. But I don't know. Do you see the point of this? Do you have any excitement?
It would help if your microphone was on.
No.
Thank you. Yeah, me either.
It's that boring that I forgot to turn my microphone on to speak about it. That's how little I care about it. No, I'm not into this at all. At least when they go to Japan, the fans there care about it because it's like a baseball market. This seems like a distraction. Everyone in London's like, I don't care about this. Like, they hardly care when the NFL is there. They're supposed to care about the dying sport going there for two games. Awesome. This does nothing for me.
Yeah, me either. And you're right, too. So even when you watch some of these NFL games that they've been doing over there for, what, like a decade plus now, like you see any of the fans locally from England, like what they really cheer for is the field goals and the kicking, because that's what they're used to. Like, their football, soccer.
That's why they send the Jaguars there every year.
Yeah, right. The Jaguars. But this, okay, so you're right. If you're going to do this in Asian countries, if you want to do this in South America, you want to have games in the Dominican, in Puerto Rico, places where a lot of your players are coming from throughout the world. That makes sense to me. I mean, they've had the World Baseball Classic last in Puerto Rico, correct? But this? Like, what's next?
There's no Nigel Buttersworth on on the Yankees or Red Sox who wants to go home.
Budding world superstar Felix Pickles. You know, like, this makes absolutely no sense to me. And the only thing that I find interesting is the why. You know, what? Why? Like, okay, so again, you're going to go to South American countries. If you're going to go to Asian countries, that makes sense. So there was an article I posted on Forbes called The Inside the Numbers, the Herculean Effort to Make the Yankees and Red Sox London Series Happen. And so this, to me, was the most interesting part. For baseball, it's understandably a big deal. Okay, why? There are long-term reasons for Commissioner Rob Manfred and MLBPA Executive Director Tony Clark to want to get to the highest levels of baseball on the European stage. Well, it's nothing on the level of North America. According to Major League Baseball, there are 100,000 regular players of organized baseball in Europe. So that's surprising to me. I didn't know this. MLB Europe conducts more than 25 elite development camps across Europe each year in over 15 countries. And the Arizona Classic, a fall showcase, has Major League Baseball bring the top European junior players together as a team. So this is, okay, so, like, I'm happy to read this. Like, I didn't know. This is the why. And ultimately, it's like, you know, it's more of a cash grab. They do want to try to implement, you know, their brand, Major League Baseball, more in Europe. I didn't know that anyone gave a rat's ass that they even had 100,000 regular players of organized baseball in Europe, but now we know. So it's just that simple. Baseball wants to grow the sport. Getting Major League Baseball in Europe at least starts that effort. And it's already implemented in those South American countries and Japan. So, okay, it is. So what it really boils down to, it's a cash grab. And you can't convince me otherwise. The other thing, Ty, is that there isn't strong involvement from John Henry, the owner of the Red Sox, also the owner of Liverpool. He has connections to England with them. Like, this is about selling merch and also building the Red Sox brand over there. And it's the same for the Yankees and their brass as well.
Yeah, and I mean, it is Liverpool connection. That does feel like this is sort of what it is for John Henry. And I think the thing that bums me out about it, like, the most is, do you see the jet they're flying over on?
Oh, yeah. Oh, that thing looks amazing.
It looks amazing, but it's, like, awesome. This is probably $1 million for this, and this team doesn't have a closer. And I know these things are not, like, that's not, like, preventing them from getting a closer, but I'm kind of like, you know, you're so afraid of going to luxury tax, but you're buying, like, literally a Batman jet for 2 days. Like, what are we doing here? Like, can you get a closer, please, instead? Like, so this is a disruption. The other thing I don't like about it is that it's in June, not April. Or, I mean, you don't want it to be the end of the season either. But like when they start in Japan, it's April. You know, it's not in the middle of the year where the off days are few and far between and the games actually matter.
Yeah, and that's the thing. If these were exhibition games, fine. No, these matter, and they totally matter. The Red Sox were at 9 games behind New York in the American League East. Like, this is, and this will, again, it's a baked-in excuse. If the Red Sox lose this series or even split and then come back and have bad series against Toronto and Detroit, what do you think they're going to say? Oh, well, you know, we're kind of exhausted from having to do all that travel. 2 days in the, or 4 days in London, 2 games in London. Like, oh, what do you expect? We're exhausted. Like, they are so ready. Because they've been full of excuses since the beginning of this season. But ultimately, do I care? I feel like most people are like you and I, Todd, like they just don't care. McCone, do you give a rant's ass about this weekend?
No, not at all. Yeah. Doesn't move the needle whatsoever.
No, not at all. The only thing that moves the needle to me were all the questions being asked by British reporters to the likes of Alex Cora and Aaron Boone leading up into this thing. Because they don't really know anything about the game. Like this.
Just to follow up on that quickly, from the European point of view, this is all new for us. And your colleague on the New York Yankees earlier was talking about the beauty of baseball. In your opinion, what is it that makes baseball beautiful, and what do you hope to show to an audience doesn't know it?
Yeah, and for me, baseball has been beautiful from the get-go. You know, my family was very involved with baseball in my hometown in Caguas. You know, my dad was the founder of the Little League chapter over there. You know, my mom is very passionate about it. My sisters are too. And, you know, I got a brother that, you know, he's involved too. And we love it. You know, it's something that runs in the family.
Oh, wonderful. Alex, Dermot Crowley, BBC News. Could you talk about the beauty of baseball? And as they say, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And how can you think that something that is so boring and interminable as baseball is actually beautiful? I don't know. Like, they're just the proper-sounding British reporters. I could listen to that all day. Like, that, to me, is what's interesting about this series.
Let me assure you, there is nothing in this world that's beautiful about Luke Voit hitting cleanup in a regular season baseball game. There's no beauty in that whatsoever.
You mentioned something about Little League. Could you expound on that, please? Is that a league for pedophiles? No, it's little kids that play. Like, what are you talking? Don't you know anything about the game? When you talk about shagging fly balls, that has a different connotation here across the pond. Do you actually put them in your orifices? No, So again, for the Brits over there, I'm sure they're very confused by this, and they're about to be very, very bored. To you we go. 617-779-0985 and anything that we've covered today. NBA free agency, NHL free agency, great Patriots debates, and Brit baseball. Dan in Boston. We'll go longest order away. Dan in Boston. You're next here with Jim Murray and Ty Anderson. Hey, Dan.
Hey, guys. Just want to comment on the Kemba Walker signing, potential signing. I really just think that if we get him, it really gives Brad Stevens and also the upper brass and the Celtics a real good chance to see what they have right now. And if, you know, the defunct young guys and we have some, you know, inner workings we got to get rid of, well, then we have Kemba here, and then we can trade off some of those, you know, sullen pieces that just don't mesh very well. And one point on the Edelman and Wes Welker comment, one of my favorite points in this whole debate from 09 when Belichick gave full access to NFL and they did the filming of the season. Mm-hmm. It was like when Welker like messed up a punt and he called up to the booth and was like, hey, who's the guy who replaced Lou Gehrig? And then Welker comes to the sidelines and says, Belichick says to Welker, he's like, hey, you know who this guy is? And Welker looks at him stupidly because who knows that guy? I don't even know him. And he goes, that's who – he points to Edelman. He's like, that's who he's going to be for you. You know, and I love that point. I've always loved that point. It's one of the best parts of the whole debate.
It's a good point. I had forgot about that too. Thanks for the call, Dan.
Oh, why do I always forget that? Who did Lou Gehrig replace?
Wally Pipp.
Thank you. I didn't want to have to look it up. Wally Pipp. Oh, I should know that like the top of my head. Oh, man. Lay off the weed, Jim. Let's go to...
Braxton Berrios is going to Wally Pipp. He's going to knock Elman out of a job.
Let's go to Phil in Worcester on Kemba Walker. Hey, Phil.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good. What's up?
Kemba Walker just kind of seems like an overpayment for an undersized guard. You know? I don't know why they wouldn't look at somebody like Malcolm Brogdon, who the reports are that he's going to go to Chicago for like $25 million.
All right, Phil, I know that someone is probably excited to hear that phone call. Used to could have brought it with a little bit more energy. That would be Tim McCone. So while Ty and I are pro Kemba Walker, and just to restate, you know, I'm more into the Kemba Walker signing more than anything else because I think it sets a good precedent again for the Celtics that they can sign name free agents. Because if they don't get Kemba Walker or anything like that after the awful season that they just had and Kyrie Irving poisoning the well, oh boy, this looks like no longer a decent outpost for any free agent to go to in the NBA. Again, this is assuming that Kemba Walker does sign on the dotted line tomorrow at 6:01, which I think is going to happen. But McCone, you want no part of this.
I don't. And as much as I like Kemba Walker because he's a UConn guy, and I think he would be certainly in the locker room a huge upgrade over Kyrie Irving, I just think you can find a point guard that's going to have success with Brad Stevens without paying him max money. And ultimately, like for me, I just don't see the value in paying who's going to be 30 next year, point guard that's 6 feet, max money when it's really not going to get you closer to a championship.
Would you be into Malcolm Brogdon? Do you think he's a better fit in terms of just, you know, on the floor?
I think he's a good player. I think he's going to get paid. I think he's going to get like $20 million a year. So for me, I'm out on that too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, well, see, McCone hates everything that the Celtics could do this offseason. He just thinks they're doomed.
He'd only be happy like Ricky Rubio for like league minimum.
Yeah, exactly. That's
the only thing he'd like. Exactly. He's like, oh, it's a great move.
All right, anything you want to discuss that we've touched on so far on the show, feel free to call 617-779-0985 to NBA offseason, Kemba Walker, Kyrie Irving. We'll give you the latest when we come back as well from Adrian Wojnarowski. Sounds like Kyrie Irving could be all alone in Brooklyn. We'll tell you the latest there as we get closer to NBA free agency. Again, starts tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern. Also, anything NHL free agency related, you have at it at 617-779-0985. It's Jim Murray and Ty Anderson.
You're listening to Gasper and Murray.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Do you see that happening more in the NBA? Do you like the idea that moving away from that term owner?
I do. I don't want to overreact to the term because, as I said earlier, people end up twisting themselves into knots, avoiding the use of the word owner. Yeah. But we moved away from that term years ago with the league. We call our team owners the governors of the team and alternate governors.
Oh, this was something else I wanted to touch on quickly. Gasper Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub. Ty Anderson in for Chris Gasper today. It's 98.5 of Sports Hub. So that's NBA Commissioner Adam Silver being asked outside of the NBA offices in New York earlier this week about the change in terms for owners in the NBA. You can't call them owners anymore, Ty. They're not owners. They're governors. And in fact, Adam Silver just said there, lying right to the cameras of TMZ Sports, oh, yeah, no, we implemented that years ago. We refer to them as governors. Uh-huh. I am a firm believer, Ty, that, and I mention this on Twitter all the time. If you're not following, please do, at Big Jim Murray. A lot of bitching on there, especially about traffic, just like Ty.
Oh, it's the worst.
I'm a firm believer we're living in the dumbest time alive, the dumbest time in recorded history, and this is further proof of this. Okay, we understand. We understand how many African Americans play in the NBA. We understand that. But who's complaining about the term owners for the owners? They don't own the players. This isn't a owner-slave relationship. I understand why why people would be upset, why they'd have to change the name. No, this has nothing to do with that. We've lost our minds. It's further proof. Dumbest time alive, Ty. People have lost their minds. Everyone's too oversensitive. Everyone's too quick to kowtow to special interest groups and one person bitching and whining, and that's it. We need to change everything. So what? Draymond Green made this comment and said, they should probably change it. Okay, fine. No, they don't own the players. They own the teams. We have to change it to governors? We can't own anymore? Can I not say that as an owner of pets? I don't own the pets. I'm the governor of the pets now? We've lost our minds. This has nothing to do with that. There's no connotations to slavery. This is crazy. Everyone's lost their effing minds.
You know what happened? They were in New York, and Kyrie walks in. He goes to Adam Silver. He goes, what does the word owner mean to you? And here we are. No, it's a really dumb thing. Everyone's way too sensitive. Like, you're telling me that governor, you know, I can't find a racist governor if I go back and find, like, there was no one with the title of governor was a, you know, was an owner, like, at some point. Like, it's just, we are destroying ourselves. It's like the Terminator, but in, like, not the way that we thought would be cool and fun.
No, and it's, and most of it is social media's fault, and Twitter. It really is. And I mostly enjoy the Twitter experience. It is like a hornet's nest of negativity and anger on there. But you can have some fun on there, as you know, Ty. But
no, not anymore.
Well, yeah, you know, by just as an aside, don't talk to them. Like, I see you go and get, like, you can't win. You can't win a peeing match with 90% of the people that go back and forth. Just say what you got to say, throw it like a Molotov cocktail, and just run. And let people, you know, deal with the fallout.
Did you see what happened a few weeks ago?
I've seen what's happened to you over the last few days with NHL free agency, with the Bruins, and the people think you, like, hate the team now. Everyone's lost their minds.
I talked about my girlfriend having poor taste in ice cream.
Oh, right, yeah.
And people think, like, this is so sexist. I'm like, what?
Yeah,
what,
like,
are you
you're
doing
an abusive
right now?
Boyfriend because you rightfully shamed your lovely girlfriend that she just had vanilla ice cream, and you walked into an ice cream shop. You have a million other better options, and she was right to get shamed on Twitter, and people think you're, like, you know, up there with OJ.
I couldn't believe it. I was like, you guys never joke around with people? You can do that, but that's the thing. We can't joke anymore. We can't call things what they've been called for hundreds of years. And so now I don't want to be called a writer anymore. I want to be called, like, the prince of paper. I want to be called something like that.
So here's a Jim Murray promise. I will never use that term. They're owners. They're the NBA owners. I will never, ever say NBA governors. They're team owners. That's what they are. I'm not changing because of the sensitive few. Go F yourselves. And on that, too, what else I saw, you know, the other thing that drove me nuts and proves what the stupid time we're living in, Ty, that's also somewhat sports-related. Did you see the Cam Newton thing where it was, I believe, a transatlantic flight. It was going to be like a 10 or 11-hour flight. Someone caught him asking a guy who had an aisle seat, hey, I'll give you $1,500 because I don't want to be comfortable. I want to have a little bit more leg room if you'll get up and switch seats with me. And the guy's like, no. And, of course, because dumbest time alive, some people on Twitter are like, no, this is a white thing. This is racist. No, no, no. It's a comfort thing, you idiots. And I'll tell you right now, as someone who is a tall, who's 6'4", who always makes sure I get an aisle seat on a flight, even if it's like an hour and a half long flight, tie, I ain't getting up for nothing. Like, the minimum price, we're talking like $8,000. And you're Cam Newton. You're a multimillionaire. Let's talk like $20,000. I'm not getting up. My comfort is the most important thing. It's paramount to me actually, you know, enjoying this flight, which I'm terrified about in the first place. I don't blame that guy for getting up. Please. It's not worth that.
No, no. God, no. I don't want to move anything for any amount of money. Like, I put off moving my apartment for the longest time. Like, I just don't want to do this. I don't want to have to pack a car and move. I want to be comfortable where I live. I don't want to have to do... No, anything that requires me moving, it takes a lot out of me these days. No, and I wouldn't do that. It's not a race thing. It's a actual comfort thing.
Oh, and just as an aside, to prove the stupidity of this London series for the Red Sox, it's the top of the first inning, and the Yankees already lead 4-0 with one out.
Well, the good news is they have one out.
It's a wonderful start there for Rick Porcello. He seems to be getting his head bashed in, yeah? Oh, boy.
I love the different characters we've created for the series.
Well, yeah. I like that you have the proper Englishman that can ask the questions. Gillian McCutcheon from The Guardian. And then you have a rough and tumble type, yeah? From the Green Street Hooligans. This game, I don't get it at all. The batsman used to be a guy who'd bash a head in. Instead, you're hitting the little ball. All right, here we go. 617-779-0985. Again, that governors, they're owners. They're team owners. Sal in Concord on the landscape of the NBA. Hey, Sal.
Hey, Jim. I've got an idea that's been in take development, and I think I'm ready to share it with you.
Okay.
It's a Celtics notion, and I've been hearing everyone on the station often talk about today's NBA and how everything is dictated by a bunch of superstars that change their minds about where they want to play every 6 to 24 months. And everyone's at the mercy of them. And I'm thinking that, you know what, maybe Celtics fans don't care to chase the superstars and be involved with that drama. Maybe the Celtics need to take a contrarian outlook on this and not follow what the rest of the NBA is doing and go for maybe one tier down from superstar, build around them, and have a team that's better than the Bridges but equally as likable and maybe can catch lightning in a bottle. Because, Jim, I think that's something that Celtics fans would rather have rather than be on the stupid merry-go-round of these impetuous superstars that just don't give a damn about anything about where they are. It's all just about them and their selfish, all-important needs. I don't think Celtic fans want that.
Well, the good news is, Sal, that's the team you're about to get. Oh, please tell me that's out. Oh, look at this start for Rick Porcello. Two-run home run. It's now 6-0 as Aaron Hicks just bashed it out the ballpark, yeah? Kemba Walker, yes, you're going to get that. You're going to get a more likable team. It's going to give you max effort night in, night out this season. So if you're looking for likability, you're going to get it. But with likability does not mean you're going to be getting titles. And so, okay, like, while I'm into this Kemba Walker move, Ty, it doesn't mean they're any closer to a winning a championship. No, especially if Kawhi Leonard ends up going to somewhere to Lakers and they have now this super team with LeBron James and Anthony Davis. They're not going to realistically compete for a title for a few more years, at least.
And this is where the loss of Al Horford really hurts, in my opinion, because I think that if you lose Kyrie, the next best guy available in the market as a ball-dominant shooting point guard is Kemba Walker. But you don't have anyone who's going to replace Al Horford and the role that he fills for you, especially when it comes to defensive matchups against guys like Joel Embiid. I know Embiid won the last matchup quite handily, but previously that was a matchup that always favored the Celtics. So they got to find that guy, and until they find that guy, they're not a title team. It's just how it is. So I don't know.
All right, so here's some of the latest NBA rumor mongering. Again, the free agency period officially begins tomorrow at 6 p.m. The big news of the morning is from Adrian Wojnarowski along with Ramona Shelburne, who reports that Kevin Durant and Kawhi Leonard have been discussing free agent scenarios that can include a future with them playing together. For now, two clear possibilities. That's the Clippers and the Knicks. So that's Kevin Durant and Kawhi Leonard, not Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. So it sounds like Durant and Leonard could maybe match up in L.A. and the Clippers or the Knicks, and that means Kyrie would be all alone in Brooklyn. Oh, that would be such poetic justice.
Enjoy Tobias Harris in Brooklyn. They're going to be great, guys.
And Caris LeVert, who had that horrific injury late in the season. You mentioned Al Horford just a minute ago there, Ty. The Pelicans, this from Mark Stein of the New York Times. He just tweeted about 30 minutes ago, the Pelicans interested in Al Horford. How many suitors is he up to now? 10? This according to one league source with knowledge of the situation, but have feared heading into free agency they would be outbid for him. Yesterday, it was the 76ers and the Sacramento Kings were the other two teams. That were the latest.
We've heard Mavericks, Clippers, Pelicans, those two teams. I thought I heard Pacers.
Yeah,
at
the
one
Pacers
point
were
too.
Involved in, as
okay.
well.
So you're up to six. You'd have to assume that the Lakers would want to get in the mix.
Or Golden State. So with Horford, if I'm him and I'm trying to chase a ring, I run from here. Because again, this team's not going to win a title anytime soon. And great, he was the consummate professional here and just didn't work out. But, I think it set a precedent that you can get a big name free agent or a name free agent when you signed him some years ago. But if he goes to somewhere that, it's youth and they're building towards something like a team like Dallas or Sacramento. Oh, what a slap in the face that is to Wick and the Celtics brass. That's what you have here. It's further proof that Al's just out. He didn't want to deal with the personalities in that room. And it's not just Kyrie. It's Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown as well. Like, that is, if he goes to a place like Dallas or Sacramento or, hell, even the New Orleans Pelicans, and granted they just got Zion and it's a rebuild there, I think that's so telling.
Yeah, that would be very damning against the Celtics. And I would hope that he doesn't do that because that would sort of go against a lot of what he said at the end of the year in terms of wanting to be here and believing in what they had. And, if he goes and ring chases, I respect that because I think he understands that it's not going to happen here. But like, if he goes to a team that is basically the Celtics, just with different players, like Doncic and Porzingis, that's a good core, but they've never been to the playoffs.
Yeah.
How can you be certain that you're going to be the guy that carries them at next level when couldn't carry these guys?
He's going there to essentially be Dirk Nowitzki.
Exactly.
Just retired. He's just the veteran presence. And this should make you feel a little bit better, Ty, because I know when we talked first today about, NBA free agency and Kemba Walker, you're still a little bit nervous and you don't trust it until the ink is dry. Kevin Smith of Yahoo Sports, blue check mark, tweeted like 10 minutes ago, Woj just definitively said on ESPN that, quote, Kemba Walker is on his way to the Celtics. He and Boston will get together shortly after 6 p.m. tomorrow and finalize a deal. So I don't know if you have to worry too much about the Lakers swooping in and signing Kemba Walker at the last second.
I don't know. He's going to touch down on the airport. He's going to try to go somewhere Sunday at 6 p.m. and go, what the hell is this? Yeah. And get me out of here.
Why is there rush hour traffic in this godforsaken city at 6 p.m. on a Sunday. Welcome to Boston, Kemba. You should know, you're a Northeast guy. You got pretty close. You dealt with bad, I would imagine, bad traffic in Connecticut as well. That bottom ass end of 95. Oh, it makes you want to die. All right, McCone's going to get caught up with the latest and more NBA rumor mongering here in the Sports Hub headlines, and then right to you and your phone calls, I promise, right after this here on Gasper Murray 98.5 of Sports Hub.
This is Gasper and Murray.
You will listen.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
And just to follow up on that quickly, from the European point of view, this is all new for us. And your colleague on the New York Yankees earlier was talking about the beauty of baseball. In your opinion, what is it that makes baseball beautiful, and what do you hope to show to an audience doesn't know it?
Yeah, and for me, baseball has been beautiful from the get-go. You know, my family was very involved with baseball, and in my hometown in Caguas, you know, my dad was the founder of the Little League chapter over there. You know, my mom is very passionate about it. My sisters are too. And, you know, I got a brother that, you know, he's involved too, and we love it. You know, it's something that runs in the family.
Five, the Sports Hub, Jim Murray and Ty Anderson, tie-in for Chris Gasper today. So that was yesterday, ahead of this all-important London series between the Yankees and the Red Sox across the pond at London Stadium, which hasn't got off to a smashing start for the Red Sox, yeah? Rick Porcello, today's starter, in case you haven't been paying attention, well, this trip didn't do him very well. He lasted all of a third of an inning, Ty. A third of an inning. Gave up 6 runs on 5 hits. And his day is done. And they've now moved on to the wheel of gutless bums and landed on Colton Brewer, who got out of the inning. And the Red Sox are currently down 6-1. They just played it a run. 6-1 in the bottom of the first inning. Okay, so the one thing that's going to be funny to me here is, so prepare yourselves, Brits, for 4 more hours of this before this ends. So with the way this thing is trending, this will be like a 5-hour game, typically what you get here in America when you watch a Red Sox-Yankee game. So, yeah, good luck trying to expand the sport in Europe when you have to sit there for this long to watch this interminable thing. I don't get it. But I do know this, the Red Sox pitching stinks this year.
Yeah, that's the one thing that's carried over to England, which is great.
Right. And the excuses will be baked right in. So your thoughts on anything we've touched on, from British baseball to NBA free agency, rumor mongering, NHL free agency, whatever, at 617-779-0985. Let's go to Steve in Detroit, actually, with a Red Sox thought. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Murray. Love your station. I love the Red Sox, but I'm hanging in with the Tigers. If you could let me just babble for a second.
Please.
Here. Al Avila, the Tigers general manager, said everything's up for sale, even Comerica Park. He's getting rid of everybody. So I was thinking, why don't the Red Sox go after Shane Green? He'll be a free agent at the end of the year, but he's making $4 million right now. So the Tigers are desperate. They'll take anybody. So I'm thinking, if Shane Green pads out for it, does a great, you know, playoff and all that stuff, that you guys might want to sign him next year. Because I'm thinking you might get him, you know, cheaper than if he plays the free agent role. And also, he's got a under 1 ERA. He's got 21 saves. Tigers only won 20, or he's got 21 saves. Tigers have only won 26. So, anyways, I think it might be, he had 32 saves last year also. So I think it might be something you guys may want to look into. Have a good day, man.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. And someone had tweeted me about Shane Green before, 30 years old, by the way, under team control via arbitration through 2020, looking here. Look, I'm not going to sit here and pretend to know much about him. I do know this, though. With Dave Dombrowski's wretched history with the Detroit Tigers and how he left that team kind of a barren wasteland, I wonder if ownership still has an axe to grind against him with the way that he left that team, and they just say, we're not going to deal with you.
That's fair. That's fair to wonder. He would also be the best guy they could possibly get. Like, there's Will Smith as well, like, out of San Francisco, which
right.
makes sense, too. But I think that he's an AL pitcher. 21 of 22 save opportunities this year, as the caller mentioned. That's worth investigating. And that's a guy that I think, too, like, you look at, and if you have the team control through next season, that fits your window before you have to blow it up. And if Mookie leaves and the other guys they got to pay before they have to figure all that out, he would fit that window for them. So I would do it. The problem is, what do you have to offer? Like, at this point, I think you're better off, if you're the Red Sox, selling to replenish the farm system versus stripping away from it further to maybe fix this year.
Yeah, so I'm with you on that, too. So if you have to take a step back this year, because I, like, looking at them, and look, I was wrong about them last year, and I thought that the win total was overinflated, and I'm an idiot. I readily admit that. But this year, like, I don't know. I think most rational people can look at this team and say, you know, they're not on the level of Houston or the Yankees or the L.A. Dodgers. This isn't going to be their year. So it's a bit of a reset, and you have building blocks in guys like Xander Bogaerts and Rafael Devers. Those are your young building blocks. I think Bogaerts is their best player. And if Betts doesn't want to be here, and the Red Sox know they're not going to match the number he's looking for, near Mike Trout numbers of $400 million, they should shop him this summer. And I'm with you. Like, replenish that farm system, which is barren, and at least know you won't end up like the Detroit Tigers, and you'll still be able to field a viable product for the next 5 to 10 years. I think that's a better plan. If you have to step back for one so that you're a good team for the next 5 to 10, that's a better plan. Mike in New York on Kyrie Irving.
Hey, guys. I just have two quick points. First one is, isn't it weird that Kyrie Irving, when he came to Boston, the big question mark on him was that he was a partier and he was out? So if that was the breaking point between the young Celtics, what kind of leader is he? And secondly, you guys have talked about for the past year how he has thrown the young guys under the bus. He threw him under the bus last year in the playoffs when he decided to take that elective knee surgery. And
yeah, Mike, on that, I'm going to let you go because it sounds like your phone's going sideways there. Yep, and I didn't make much of that at the time. Kudos to Felger and Maz. They thought it was a bad look, Game 7 Eastern Conference Finals. And Kyrie Irving wasn't there. He takes the elective surgery, the nose job, if you will, before he goes out on his press junket for his stupid Uncle Drew movie. I was like, oh, please, you guys are making a mountain out of a molehill. No, I think that was actually, in retrospect, it's easy to say now, that was the first sign that there was some sort of discourse going on.
And it pisses me off, too, because he then 6 months later, he does the, he's walking into the garden, his cameras, he goes, oh, I can't wait to be done with this.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, he all of a sudden he hates cameras after making a horrible movie, and then buying the rights to make another terrible movie, I'm sure, about ghosts in a hotel in Oklahoma City.
Right.
He's telling me, I don't want these cameras in my face. Man, like, he's such a con man. I can't stand him. He is Lyle Landley.
The monorail guy.
He is. That is who he is. And I'm so happy that it's coming to light now that he potentially might be going to Brooklyn all by himself. Have fun with that. Oh, if you don't go to Brooklyn by yourself, you can turn around and you can go beg Daddy LeBron James, hey, can I maybe join your team as well? Like, this is the perfect thing that could have happened to Kyrie Irving with the way he handled himself this year.
Let's go to Andrew in Weymouth talking earlier about the great Patriots debates that have been put up on Twitter by Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston. I wanted to talk about Wes Welker. Go ahead, Andrew.
Hey, guys. How are you today?
Good. What's up?
I have a quick question, Jim. What is your take on Danny Amendola? Because the reason why, if you look at Danny's record versus Wes Welker, you know, Danny came in with those clutch moments other than Welker. Now, I'm not saying that Danny Amendola was a better regular season player than Wes Welker, but if you look at the difference between the players, Danny came in the clutch with a lot of things. Danny came in with a touch in Super Bowl 49. He came in with a clutch in the Super Bowl 51 against the Falcons. He also made a great two-point conversion to get us tied in that game, and he made a great clutch catch to get us to beat Jacksonville. So I just kind of feel like that if you look at the better Patriot, I have to give it to Danny over Welker a little bit. Now, Ty, I understand that you said that, you know, Welker has better stats than Danny, and I would agree with that. But if as a better Patriot, I take Danny any time of the day.
Andrew, preach. I like what you're slinging there. And I'm glad you brought up that Jacksonville AFC Championship game. Go back and watch that game. He's the best player for the Patriots in that game. It's him and Brady. Without Amendola in the second half that he has, the Patriots end up losing that, and it's Jacksonville in the Super Bowl. Ultimately, the Patriots lost to the Eagles. But still, you know, Amendola was hell of a lot more clutch of a player in the playoffs than Wes Welker ever was.
People didn't like Amendola like the first 3 years he was here, though. Like, come on, let's be real here. They weren't big Amendola truthers for the first few years of that contract.
Oh, that's true. No, initially in 2013, granted, he was playing with a torn groin, but boy, I was like, oh, this stiff. I'm one of those people. But hey, you know, it's easy to go back now and say, yeah, sure, I take Amendola over Wes Welker. As we get ready to wrap here, we'll do five questions for, Ty Anderson. nothing to do with sports because Chris Gasper's over covering this Red Sox-Yankee game. It's now bases loaded for the Red Sox. Bottom of the first inning, 6-1 Yankee lead. These poor people are going to be here for 6 hours. You mean to tell me there's 8 more of these? Oh, yeah, no. There could even be extras. What do you mean by extras? You see, if the game's tied in the ninth, there's more. There's another frame. You mean we could be here all day, all night? Yeah, that's right. Welcome to baseball. Welcome to watching a baseball game.
It would be kind of amazing here if they get a super high-scoring game. They're like, this is what the sport is. Like, nope, this is not what this is.
Not at all. Oh, God. Oh. All right, 5 questions for Ty Anderson. Got nothing to do with sports. We'll wrap up next here on 98.5 of Sports Hub.
This is Gasper and Murray on 98.5 Sports Hub.
All right, so we wrap up the show each and every week, as long as, one of us is here. But Chris Gasper is not here. He is covering the Red Sox-Yankee London series for the Boston Globe. So Ty Anderson filling in today. But this one is going to be somewhat related to this London series. Question number one there, Ty. One of the things that actually I am interested in that they just showed, all the different concessions that they are offering during the London series. Like, they actually have a cocktail person walking around. It's not just a beer man. It's a cocktail man. Like, who would like a Pimm's? Someone like a Pimm's cup, boy. And also, they offer cotton candy, but they don't call it cotton candy. They call it what, Ty?
Candy floss.
So I ask you, Ty Anderson, are you a fan of cotton candy, a.k.a. candy floss?
No. No, your fingers are sticky after. You feel like you're just eating hair. I'm out on that. Can't do it.
One of the most worthless treats in human history. Like I said, it's an adventure eating it. You basically feel like you gotta take a shower after you have the stuff. It's not good. It never was, even as a child when you love all things sugar.
Yeah, no, not a fan.
And cotton candy.
I can do the cotton candy flavored gum. I like that.
I'm into that. And cotton candy flavored ice cream or something like that. Or like bubblegum ice cream.
Yep.
You know, certain things I like better in ice cream form because at heart, I'm a fat person. All right, question number two. The top purchases that make people happy include clothes, electronics, and shoes, Ty. What is something that makes you happy when you buy it?
Hats and shoes. Yeah, hats and shoes, man.
Obviously, absolutely. Hats for me, too. I have more hats than I know what to do with. In fact, one of the last times I went and bought hats, multiple, this was like 2 years ago. I specifically went to New York to make hat purchases, and I bought like 6 of them, and I think I've only ever worn one of them. I just like the feeling of buying them.
Yep, there's that. I also like Vans. Whenever Vans is like a cool collaboration, I always get a pair. The latest few collabs, though, have stunk.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. They did a Harry Potter one. That was bad. Before that, they did a Marvel one, which was very lackluster. Given all the Marvel characters that they could have done, they left a lot to be desired there. So,
didn't they do a Nintendo one?
Yes, they did. That one was pretty cool, but they didn't have the ones I wanted in the style of Vans that I prefer.
Okay. All right, next question. With the 4th of July upon us, Ty, if you're not working, what will you be doing?
I will be just relaxing. Dude, I've had so many 4th of Julys ruined over the years. Like, Tyler Seguin got traded on the 4th of July in 2013. Gordon Hayward made his decision to sign with the Celtics on the 4th of July. I want to just sit and do nothing. I want to relax outside, and I don't want anyone to talk to me. I want to be left alone.
My man. Yeah, that's what me and the lady are going to be doing. This time off, like, I'm just going to sit and stare, read. Like, that's what I want to do on the 4th of July and not be sick and miserable like I was last year. For the 4th year in a row, Ty Anderson, America chose Chick-fil-A as their favorite fast food chain. Which one's your favorite?
Are we talking traditional fast food?
Yeah, whatever chain. Like, if you see it on the highway, you're hungry, you're going to stop at that because that's the chain you prefer.
Chipotle. Every time.
Yeah?
Would you include that, though?
Yeah. No, it's a high-end chain.
Chipotle? Yeah, that's the one I go to.
Higher-end chain, yeah. I guess.
Nope, that is me. Burritos forever, man. That's all I can do.
Yeah, ultimately, I go... So, Chick-fil-A, I mean, that's it really is an incredible sandwich. And for years, I refused to eat there because one of my friends who's gay had asked me, like, please don't because, the Kathy family's a bunch of bigots. But living in the South when I did... You can't help but eventually have Chick-fil-A. And when I did, oh, man. Oh, it's a breathtaking sandwich. It's life-changing. And I was like, okay, I'm a sellout, and I'm going to eat this thing forever. So it's either Chick-fil-A or Taco Bell for me. Finally, if you had to work, Ty, but did not need the money, what would you do?
This.
Yeah.
This, 100% this. Like, I don't know. Like, this doesn't feel like work to me.
Exactly. Yeah, no, it's the same for me. Yeah. That's the reason I would try to hang on to these jobs with dear life. Like, it's not, doesn't really feel like work. Like, you kidding? These are the softest hands you'll ever shake. I haven't worked a real hard day in my life.
That's right. No. I mean, listen, as someone who used to wait tables and bartend and work retail jobs, like, yeah, this is what it is. Like, absolutely.
Same. Yeah. Oh, no. And I know you and I will probably be back there eventually. Let's pick a restaurant we can work at together, Ty. That will do it for us. Ty, always a pleasure. Thanks for filling in.
Happy. Anytime. Happy to.
Tim McCone, Kristen Sermon as well. Kristen producing the show. McCone was alongside for the headlines and chiming in. That will do it for us. Joe Murray, Ted Johnson coming up next. If you want to get on with them, 617-779-0985. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Talk to you Monday with Felger and Maz. Bye.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.